Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 12th of September, recording at 9:36 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, the Asian bourses were mostly quite steady, and some of the better gains here. Hang Seng up over 1%. The Nikkei was up 1.73%. European stock markets were generally steadier. There were a few exceptions, but they were very, very small. And the Italian MIB index seems to have had the best gain here, up nearly 1.2%. In the Americas, a quieter day. Brazil, the best gain, up 0.84%. Wall Street seesawed a little bit before closing with modest gains, mostly less than 0.25%, although the NASDAQ was slightly higher as Apple reversed yesterday's decline. Although I think that's before Tim Cook has given his presentation, so it'll be interesting to see how that actually affects the share price. The bigger moves, I think, were among bonds and precious metals. Now, bonds first. The bond futures prices have weakened, and it really weakened further here today. Not dramatically, but they've been soft generally in recent days, and bunds have futures have broken downwards beneath their recent lows of previous months. And we have also seen bunds break beneath their rising 200-day moving average. I won't say any more on that because I've done a review of them in Comment of the Day. Now, precious metals, they roared up earlier in the day. It started, earlier in the day, UK time, and I think undoubtedly an influence there was the killing of the US ambassador in Libya, plus three of his colleagues. Now, those gains were quite strong at one stage. Give you an example, silver got up to 30. Silver was by far the most volatile. It got up to $34.14. Then, in the afternoon, mid afternoon, sell-off commenced, and silver fell over $1.50, coming down to $32.51. Before bouncing, and ended, well, it's trading here. We showed a large key day reversal at one stage, but the rally up back up has pretty well negated that. So a big outside day overall, but it's currently trading at 33.30, and that's down just over $26. But others, for instance, platinum was probably the next most volatile and rallied up to $16.5950. That was up over $50, about $52, then fell back to $16.0350, but rallied strongly again and settled at about $16.48, I believe. Now, it's not showing the after-hours trading at the moment, so I don't have an exact price on that. But it's high. It's up over $40 today overall. Now, palladium was also firm, but off the highs, as they all were. Gold seesawed a little bit, and let's see, bullion. Bullion was as high as 1747 and then dropped down to 1725 and change. Currently 1731. That's almost, well, and change. It's down just under a dollar here right now. So what else to mention? Crude oil. Crude oil had a quiet day overall, 96.87 for the WTI. Brent's also quiet around 1550, 115.50, and that's too, or that's uncomfortably high, I think, for the global economy. And industrial metals mixed, but they've been quite firm recently, as you know. Now, I think those are the main features in here today, although soybeans were quite strong in the grain and bean sector. So what's going on here overall? Well, this has been a good move here in stock markets overall. For most of them, it started in early June, as you know, with Wall Street getting that upward dynamic and then going into that pattern of highs, a ranging recovery, ranging rally, I should say, characterized by higher reaction lows. We had a little hesitation for about over 2 weeks, nearly 3 weeks, near the year's earlier highs in March and April. And have broken up again, and Wall Street remains really quite firm overall. The European markets, though, have been the star performers over the last couple of months, and Germany's one of the leaders, so is Finland and Denmark. Denmark particularly strong. Now, I'm not sure about Finland. It's Denmark that was particularly strong. Now, but the whole region and big gains in the European bank shares, which have continued. And incidentally, we've seen big gains in the UK bank shares and also in the US banking sector. And that is a bullish indication here overall, suggesting that even though this rally is somewhat overbought in the short term, that it's not over yet. Although I maintain that I'd be surprised if we didn't see some sort of a reaction between now and the second half of October. But a reaction we can all deal with. This has been an impressive rally, and it has improved technical patterns across the boards. That includes China with that big upward dynamic last Friday, and it's consolidating those gains currently. Now, the ASEAN sector has been pretty well range bound for a number of weeks, but that looks on the charts to be a mean reversion towards the rising 200-day MAs. They had become overextended on that basis, but have now largely corrected that. And helping to fuel the rally, well, it's the same old story of the QE and the very low, near record low interest rates. But I think the improvement in sentiment towards Europe is a huge factor in terms of increased optimism generally, because for so much of the last year and a half or more, that Europe had been the focal point for global concerns at a time when there were certainly plenty of other concerns, including weak growth in the USA, the ballooning deficit, and China's slowdown. But Europe was the big factor here psychologically, with people, discounting an imminent breakup of the euro and just describing it really as the whole situation in Europe as a maelstrom. Well, attitudes have changed predictably since Super Mario Draghi, the ECB president, wrested enough control over the ECB from the bureaucrats and politicians in the various European states to run a proper central bank in terms of being the lender of last resort. Now, we know that hasn't resolved European problems, which run deep and have run for decades, but have been particularly pronounced by over borrowing, not least, well, pretty well across the region, but not least in the peripheral, so-called peripheral states, which benefited from lower interest rates than they had had than they'd had previously. Then there are also the problems of socialism, and those are not going to go away, clearly. And so the conundrum really is, where's the growth actually going to come from? Although I heard one bit of news this morning, which was, I'll put it this way, it was less bad than expected. Much has been made in the press about the huge youth unemployment figures in Spain, and a correspondent from CNBC, I noticed while I was in the gym, who spends a lot of time in Europe, said that nobody in Spain really believes the official unemployment figure. But quite simply, the way she explained it, the situation was that if a company wanted to hire someone for, say, this is a young worker, for say, 1,000 euros a month, that the whole social taxes, social services, welfare net, healthcare, and all that would have really doubled the cost of that hiring for the company. So really what we're getting is a massive, or we still have there, a massive black economy where employers are likely to say to those candidates, look, I can only afford to pay you 1,000 euros a week, but I'll pay you 1,500 euros if you'll work for cash, effectively, and not tell the government. And there are not many people who are going to blink at that offer. And I suspect that's a policy that we see really right across certainly those southern European countries. Now, but the big issue here is that the change in sentiment towards Europe has given people fewer excuses to miss out on what is currently a momentum move here in global stock markets. There was also a tremendous amount of short covering across Europe and including the euro, and that's possibly still going on, with some people having come out and gone back in with those positions. I would, needless to say, we would not be short those European banks. Not all that keen on buying them either, because we're spoiled for choice in terms of value situations, and many that offer really quite attractive dividends. But this is a case of not wanting to fight the trend here, which has improved considerably. And then we have China's reflation. So not a bad outlook here overall for stock markets. It'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow when we get the Well, when we will know the reaction of Apple, and more importantly, we will of the Apple presentation for the new iPhone, fifth iPhone, and we will also get the Fed's latest comments. I don't expect any dramatic announcement from the Fed. I don't think the market does either, but they're unlikely to dampen down expectations. I think what the Fed's been doing recently and will probably continue to do for the most part is cheerleading, and by that there's plenty of talk about all the innovative tools that it claims to have in its arsenal here for supporting the economy and hopefully reducing unemployment a little bit more. So that may not be a big factor overall. Moving on quickly to precious metals. They are overbought in the short term, as you know, but I've written in response to an email about some of these the factors, including the dynamics that we get following breakouts from trading ranges, such as we saw for most of those precious metals. Up until the last month, and it's not unusual to see very strong moves following a period of indecision when bulls and bears are sort of equally divided and therefore holding the market in a trading range. And you get a break to this, so that tends to thin out supply above the trading range and demand below it. But the main point is once you get to one, once demand gains the upper hand, as it did in this instance, then you get short covering and you get more people coming in and following the breakout, and that creates a momentum move. So we go from equally divided buying and selling pressure to suddenly a totally demand-dominated environment for a while. And I think that move, that momentum move, is probably not over. It was challenged here today by the shakeout that we saw in silver, but the way that market recovered and the strength of the recovery in platinum, and that suggests to me that, you know, we're unlikely to see too much more than a bit more consolidation prior to further gains. But those of you who have participated in this run, and I know a lot of you have, might certainly where you've been using futures, as I have. Well, I now have virtually all of my positions protected with, and the early positions protected within the money stops and break-even stops on the some of the more recent purchases. Okay, I think that covers the main bases here, except to say on those precious metals, I do expect nothing more to the downside than some reactions and ranging consolidations. But they may well, the next range of any consequence in terms of time, in other words, a few weeks, may not be seen until we reach higher levels. And I expect strength carrying right on through the year, and overall strength right on through the year and well into next year. I think this is the real deal, and it's a very important move overall. On that note, all the best to all of you.